Today, I want to give you a little forerunner as to where we're going as quickly as we can get there. We're going to be talking about the orphan spirit, orphan living, and we're going to culminate with orphan adoption. Somebody needs to have the orphan spirit revealed to them today. Somebody needs to have orphan living removed from them today. And if you haven't already, you need orphan adoption to take place for you today. And what is an orphan? An orphan is someone, by the meaning of the word, who's been left alone. Someone who's been left alone with nobody else to provide for them. And here's Jesus' promise in John chapter 14. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. That'd be a good place for an amen. And then he makes a promise. I will come to you. Would you say, Father, I need a fresh word today. Anoint pastor to preach with anointing, with power, with favor. I need this truth in Jesus' name. Amen. We learned last week that an orphan is somebody who has no father. When somebody has no father, it results in them having a distorted view of identity. They don't know what their identity is. Anybody who does not understand their identity ends up with no purpose in life. Someone with no father and no identity and no purpose results in somebody living a life with no specific direction other than a downward spiral to tragedy. Someone who lives with no father, no identity, no purpose, and no direction also results with somebody not understanding their destiny. And if they don't understand their destiny, then they end up with no abundant life. They just exist in life. The three things that I shared with you that I want to cover today real quickly is the first one is I want to talk to you about the orphan spirit needing to be revealed to you. We preached the whole message on this last week. But that is something that needs to happen in everybody's life before they die. And the sooner, the better. And there are four things about the orphan spirit that we need to remember. And that is, first of all, the orphan spirit is something that's universal. It's universal. In Luke chapter 3, verse 38, look at the word, look at that verse, and tell me what word is mentioned most frequently in that verse. The Son. The son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of whom? The son of God. Luke traces this principle of sonship all the way back to Adam and through his genealogy. And it was within God's heart, it was within his desire when he created Adam for Adam to know him as his father and for the father-son relationship to be established. And for the son-father relationship to be established. When Adam sinned against the commandment that his father had given him, then Adam ceased being God's son. And Adam became the first human orphan on the face of the earth. And because of Adam's transgression, everyone born after that was born an orphan. And so the orphan spirit was alive and well. Now, Adam was the first orphan, human orphan on the earth, but he wasn't the first orphan. Lucifer was the first orphan. He was the first one to have transgressed against God's holiness, and he was left alone. He was kicked out of heaven. He was kicked out of God's presence. And now Lucifer, the chief orphan spirit, slithered his way into Adam and Eve's life with the sole purpose of making them orphans, because they knew that if they had no father, they would have no identity, and if they had no identity, they'd have no purpose, and if they had no purpose, they'd have no direction, and if they had no direction, they'd have no destiny, and if they had no destiny, they could never enjoy eternal life. And so the orphan spirit is universal. But because the orphan spirit became universal, the second thing was true, the orphan spirit became generational. The orphan spirit became generational, and that's what Adam passed down to his firstborn son, and that was Cain. And Cain never got rid of the orphan spirit. He never got rid of the orphan influence in his life, though it was offered to him, though it was taught to him by Adam how he could have the orphan spirit removed and how he wouldn't have to live as an orphan. But Cain chose to live as an orphan. As a matter of fact, when God pleaded with him and begged with him that if you do the right thing, you will be accepted into my family. You will be adopted and become my son. But Cain said he would rather live the rest of his life as a vagrant and a wanderer than to be God's child. And so what did God do for Cain? Cain lived with this fear. He lived with this sense of rejection. He lived with this lack of identity. He lived with no security. And that fear caused him to think we were going to do to him what he'd done to his brother Abel and murder him. And so your Bible says in Genesis 4:15 that God put a sign on Cain. God put a mark on Cain. And I believe that mark was the orphan spirit. Everywhere Cain went, people knew him as a vagabond and knew him as a wanderer with no roots and no father and no identity and no destiny. And that's the third thing that you would know about an orphan spirit being revealed to you. It's universal, it's generational, but it's also discernible. The orphan spirit is recognizable or discernible. And that's what I think that God put on Cain. The orphan spirit is discernible. In chapter 3, verse 10, he says, when after he'd sinned and became an orphan, he heard the sound of God coming to fellowship with him. And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was what? Afraid. What I want you to do is to ask God if you have an orphan spirit. Ask God if you need that revealed to you. And if you live with fear, that's one of the chief characteristics of an orphan spirit. You're afraid of God. You're afraid of a father-son relationship, a father-daughter relationship. You're afraid of intimacy. You're afraid of being rejected. You're afraid that your guilt and your shame is going to cause more pain and more rejection in your life. And so the cycle continues. Adam knew that he had sinned, and he says, I was afraid because I was naked. Now, what we said last week is being naked had nothing to do with clothes. It had everything to do with his shame and his guilt. His soul was now bare. His sin was now before his eyes. His guilt and the consequences of his guilt were all there. And he lived with this fear. Not only was he afraid, not only did he recognize that he was naked, but the third thing Adam recognized was his desire to be isolation. Somebody with an orphan spirit would rather live alone than live in the company of other people. And he says, I was afraid because I was naked. So what did I do? I isolated myself. I got as far away from you as I could, and I got as far away from my wife as I could. I didn't want to be rejected anymore. I didn't want the pain anymore. The fourth thing that an orphan spirit should be able to discern is his insecurity. He said, I was naked, and so I hid myself. The fifth thing that Adam recognized was his lack of identity. Adam knew for the first time that he was no longer God's son. He was an orphan. So if I'm not God's son, whose son am I? If I don't get my identity from God, who do I get my identity from? If I don't get my protection from God, who do I get my protection from? If I don't get my provision from God, who do I get my provision from? If I don't get my identity from him, who do I get it from? And so now here Adam is. He has no idea his purpose in life. He has no idea the direction of his life. He has no idea of how to get back to where he was. And so he's hiding himself. The orphan spirit is something that is discernible. Now, the sixth thing is that Adam recognized his lack of destiny, his lack of purpose, and his lack of abundant life. Adam no longer saw himself as being God's favorite son, and as a result of his shame and his guilt, he lived in fear, insecurity, guilt, and a desire to live in isolation from God, in isolation from his wife, and in isolation from all that God had created for him to enjoy. Are you recognizing the spirit, the orphan spirit in your family line? Are you recognizing the orphan spirit in your life? Well, the orphan spirit is universal, it's generational, it's discernible, but fourthly, the orphan spirit is replaceable. Somebody say, praise God. If you recognize you have the orphan spirit, and if you don't recognize you've had the orphan spirit, then either you're not human or you're not telling the truth, because the orphan spirit's universal, amen? Everybody was born with the orphan spirit. You were born without a relationship with God your Father. But in the natural, the orphan spirit wants to affect your father-daughter relationship, your father-son relationship on the earth. It wants to affect your family relationships. It wants to affect every relationship in your life. But praise God, it is replaceable. And God says, because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son, where? Into your hearts. When you are ready to have the orphan spirit replaced in your life, God is ready to adopt you. And God is ready to bring you out of orphan spirit mentality and bring you into true relationship with him. And he's going to give you the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, the first message he's going to send to you is a message of affirmation that you are God's child. Not only are you God's child, but you are God's favorite child. And God loves you unconditionally, and there's not a rule you could keep that make him love you more, and there's not a rule you could break that cause him to love you any less. God loves you, period. Somebody say amen. Now, if you don't see yourself as God's favorite child, if you still think you've got to keep a rule to make God happy, and that you have, and if you've broken a rule that God won't be happy with you, you got some orphan spirit on you, and you got to get rid of the rule keeping and the shame and the guilt of your life. If you're ever going to cry with a pure cry, Abba, Father. He will never reject you. He'll never make you perform to make him happy. He'll never stiff arm you and say, I don't have time for you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never make you think you've got to earn his love or earn his gifts. He has that gift for you, and he's got time for you, and he's got a lap that'll hold you, and he's got arms that'll support you, and he's got treasures that will provide for you. Somebody say amen. Well, that's orphan spirit. And the orphan spirit must be recognized. But here's number two. When you have an orphan spirit, the orphan spirit causes orphan living. And orphan living must be removed from your life. The orphan living, the spirit of orphan, comes to your life and makes you want to live beneath your privileges. Wants you to live without understanding your true identity. Wants you to live not understanding unconditional love. And so what we have to do, we have to recognize the orphan spirit in us and on us. And we have to be willing to have that orphan living removed from our life. There are at least four characteristics of orphan living that I want to call your attention to from Luke chapter 15. I want us to take a close look at this morning at a father who had two orphan sons. And this father who had two orphan sons, one that stayed at home and one that left home. You know, you can be an orphan if you still live at home and if you keep all the rules. And this father, he had two orphan sons, but the orphan spirit hadn't yet been revealed to either one of them. But orphan living was being manifested from them. And let me show you the four characteristics of orphan living that are true in these orphans, and it would be true in your life and mine too. First of all, orphan living originates with selfishness. Orphan living originates with selfishness. Look at Luke chapter 15 and verse 12. Here's the first words that we see from this orphan that was ready to leave home. Father, say, Father, give me. Now, those are not the first times you've ever uttered those words. Those are not the first times I've ever uttered those words. You know, a child comes into this word, and whether the first words they say are mama or dada, the next words are give me, give me. When you come into this world, you come into this world born an orphan. And one of the chief characteristics of an orphan is selfishness. And here this son was. He was between the ages of 15 and 17. Say, oh my goodness. Now, if any of you have ever had 15 to 17-year-olds, can I get a witness in the house today? Any of you are 15 to 17 years old, I've got a word from God for you today. And it came to pass. And it came to pass. This too will come to pass. Maybe like a kidney stone, but it will come to pass. When this guy was 15 to 17 years old, the epitome, the height of his selfishness was manifest here. He says, Father, give me the share of the what? Now, he wasn't asking for allowance. He wasn't asking for date money. He wasn't asking for McDonald's money. He wasn't asking for mad money. He was wanting all of his money. He said, Father, give me the share of the estate. Give me my inheritance now. And what he was saying that this father would understand is that, Dad, I've been thinking about your death for a long time. And it's just not getting here soon enough. Dad, I wish you were dead. But I can't wait till you're dead to get out of this house. I want to leave this house. I want to leave your rules. I want to leave you right here and now. I don't want to be known as your son anymore. I don't want to be obedient to you as a son anymore. I don't want to be provided by you as a son anymore. Dad, I'm ready to leave right now, but there's something I need you to give me before I go. I need my share of the estate. I want my share of the inheritance. You know, when children are born into this world, you don't have to teach them to be selfish, do you? You have to teach them to share. You have to teach them to be selfless. And if you've got any tips on how to do that, we'd be glad to hold a seminar and let you lead it. But it's constant. It's constant. You let two little toddlers get in the same room together. And you let two little toddlers get in the same room together. And one of them's playing with a toy. And another one's playing with a toy. The most selfish of the two. Not that the other one's not. But they both are selfish. The one that's the most selfish will look and will run over there and say, I want that too. Mine, 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 mine. And an all-out cat fight will take place, or an all-out testosterone fight will occur. You know, right there. And toddlers, they hadn't learned how to change their diapers. They hadn't learned how to put on their shoes, but they know how to be selfish. And that's the orphan living as it manifests itself. Orphan living originates with selfishness. Now, I got some further bad news for you. There's not a single one of us in this room or any other room that's not selfish. And when you've got an orphan spirit and you've got an orphan living in your life, you're going to live the most selfish life on the face of the earth. And it doesn't mind hating. It doesn't mind insulting. It doesn't mind offending. And it doesn't mind demanding. What's mine is mine, and it's not going to be anybody else's. So the orphan living's got to be removed from us. And the first characteristic of an orphan spirit that's turning into orphan lifestyle in you or me is it originates with selfishness. Now, I wish I could tell you this is the worst there is, but it's not. It gets worse. Once the orphan living has begun to manifest itself through selfishness, then it leads to a second thing. A second thing will be fun. It originates with selfishness, but then secondly, we see that it manifests through wastefulness. It manifests through wastefulness. Now, I wish I could tell you that I acted like this father, or I would act like this father when the son came and said, "I hate your guts. I wish you were dead now. I can't wait you to die, so go ahead and give me what belongs to me before you die and treat me as not your son anymore." And how many of you, if your son got up in your grill, if your son got up in your face saying, "I hate your guts, I don't want to live under your rules, I don't want to live with your food, I'm not going to obey, I'm not going to keep house, and I'm not going to do my chores around here more, but I want my money." You know what this father did? He gave it to him. Well, if that's what you want, be sure that what you want is what you need, because you're about to get what you want. But when he gave him his portion of the inheritance, his portion of the estate, then the Bible says he went on a journey. This prodigal, this orphan son, this selfish son, it says he went on a journey into a what? A distant country. Now, a distant country could be the neighbor's house down the road. A distant country could be another zip code. It could be another area code, just somewhere away from the Father's presence, somewhere away from the Father's rules, somewhere away from being known as the Father's son. And the orphan living then begins to manifest itself through wastefulness. Look at what it says. He went on a journey into a distant country, and there he what? Squandered his... He squandered his estate. He didn't squander his allowance. He didn't go down to the Target. He didn't go down to the Walmart and spend $3 on a toy that tore up before he got home. He went down and squandered it, everything that he had. And we know from the rest of the story that the father had a lot. And his portion of the inheritance was a lot. But the word squandered is an incredible word. You know what the word squandered means? It means squandered. It means to waste in recklessness. It means to waste in foolishness. It means to absolutely unbind and unfetter restraints. You know, it's similar to some of the stories that you hear of these people who win the lottery. I mean, they win hundreds of millions of dollars. And the next story that you hear from them is that they're in bankruptcy court. And orphan living causes you to squander your resources, to squander your opportunities, to squander your privileges, to squander your finances. And that's what's going on in so many people's lives, is that the prodigal spirit is causing prodigal living. And prodigal living originates with selfishness, and prodigal living manifests through wastefulness. But it gets worse. The third thing that you'll see about prodigal living is it not only originates in selfishness and manifests itself in wastefulness, but orphan living deteriorates into emptiness. It deteriorates into emptiness. And in Luke chapter 15 and verse 14, look at what it said. Now when he had, now what's that five-letter word? When he had what? Say it, say you never. He spent it. Now how much did he spend? Oh my goodness. Now when he had spent everything, how long would it take you to blow through $1 million? You say, "I don't know, but I'd sure like to try." How many of you think that you could make $1 million last a pretty good season of your life? How many of you think that if you had $2 million that you could make it go another season in your life? Well, you could, unless you're orphan living. An orphan can blow through resources. An orphan can blow through finances. An orphan can blow through opportunities. An orphan can blow through money quicker than anything that's sane. Because what it says is when he had spent everything, he began to be, what's that big long word? Impoverished. Oh my goodness. That word impoverished means, it means that he's empty. It means he's exhausted. It means that he is needy. He has blown through, he's spent, he's wasted every single thing that he has. And not only is his bank account empty, but his friendship account is empty. Not only is his bank account empty, not only is his friendship account empty, but his life is empty. His life is empty, and he's beginning to realize it. You know, that's one of the things that happens to an orphan spirit. Is they might have opportunities, they might have demanded rights, they might have anger, they might have friends for a season, they might have resources for a while, they might have a good job for a little while, but before long they've wasted that, before long they have spent that, before long they have thrown that away, and all that's left at the end is something that's emptier than their bank account, and that is their soul account. They are absolutely empty in life. You know, that's what happens in orphan living. And we all have been there at some point in time, and somebody's there right now. But it gets worse. Number four, it not only deteriorates into emptiness, but number four, orphan living culminates with loneliness. Orphan living culminates with loneliness. When you're selfish, when you are wasteful, when you are empty, there's only one thing that's worse than that, and that's adding loneliness to it. And look at what it says in chapter 15, verse 16. And no one would give anything to him. Luke 15, 14 says, when he spent everything, no one would give him anything. Several years ago, they had a convention for the Baptist. Of all places in Las Vegas, Nevada. I don't know what committee decided that, but it seemed like a good idea to them. And we went to the convention. Now, one of the things that was a part of my testimony before I got saved, I think it's saved when I was 25, is I love to gamble. I love to play cards. Not so much for money as was for competitiveness. I've got a little competitive streak in me. And, well, I got a big competitive streak in me. And it doesn't matter if it's tiddlywinks, checkers, or anything. I think I can beat you. And a good card game with a little bit on the stake, was great. Well, this is what happened. When I got saved, I knew that I couldn't play cards anymore. I couldn't gamble anymore. You decide whether it's sinful or not sinful. It wasn't really that about me. It was just an attachment with the old lifestyle that I just couldn't go to and stay sanctified. And so I didn't play another card game. I wouldn't even play rook. I wouldn't even play hearts or spades or anything else. But here we were waiting for the taxi to take us to the meeting. And when you land in Las Vegas, if you go to the bathroom, there's slot machines in the bathroom. If you go to McDonald's, there's slot machines in the McDonald's. Wherever you go, there's some way to take your money from you. Well, we're sitting, standing there in the lobby waiting for the taxi for everybody to get down there. And here's a guy, you've probably seen him on television on this high-stakes poker game. His name's Big Tex. He was sitting at the table. He's about 65 years old then. And he got his Big Tex hat on. And he's got two girls that look like his daughters on each side of him. And he's got stacks of chips beside him, and he's winning. And now guess what thought comes to your mind when you're sitting there? You could beat Big Tex. Look at him. Who does he think he is? You know, he thinks he's all that. Why don't you just sit down there beside him and take that money from him? And, you know, I wish I could tell you your pastor wasn't tempted. You know, when you're being tempted, I mean, your mouth's going to start getting... I mean, if it's cold in the room, you're going to be sweating. If it's hot in the room, you're going to be chilling. I mean, you're passing through a valley of temptation right here, and you're walking around saying, oh, my goodness, you know, what am I going to do with this? But then all of a sudden, something happened there at the dealer's where he won all these stacks of chips, and these girls sitting on each side of him, they changed dealers on him. And the management came, and they took that dealer out and put another dealer in, and all of a sudden, in less than 2 minutes' time, everything on Big Tex's right hand went down to nothing. Everything on Big Tex's left hand went down to nothing. And then he went through three lines of credit. You know, they came out and had him to sign his signature for more chips, and they went through all of that, and then that wasn't the end of it. That girl's on his right hand, she left him. And that girl's on his left hand left him. And then the Holy Ghost said, yeah, go ahead and sit yourself down beside him. And you're going to end up just as lonely as he is. You see, when you are prodigal living, it's going to culminate in loneliness. And whoever you thought your friend was is not going to be your friend when everything is gone. Well, here's some good news. Let me close this for you, all right? It deteriorates into emptiness. It culminates into loneliness. But oh, my goodness, it terminates. It terminates through repentance. How do you get rid of an orphan spirit? How do you get through an orphan lifestyle? It will terminate with repentance. Look at verse 17. But when he came to what? To his senses. You know, that phrase, came to his senses, is a word that means he was out of his mind. How many of you have ever told your 15, 16, 17, or you're out of your mind? I don't know you. I didn't raise you. Who are you? That's this boy. He's out of his mind. He's insane in this season of his life with orphan living. Orphan living will make you act like a crazy man. It can't make like a crazy woman. It'll heighten your selfishness. It'll compound your wastefulness, and it'll end up with emptiness and loneliness to no degree. But when he came to his senses, look at what he said. He said, hey, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I'm dying with hunger? You know, wasn't it a great thing when he came to his senses, the first thing he began to think about is his father? I mean, he told his father what he thought of him when he was selfish. I hate you and I want your money. And I wish you were dead, but since you're not dead and you don't have any signs of dying, I want my money and I'm leaving here. Look at what the next verse says. And it says, and he's dying. And then it says in verse 18, I will get up and I will go to my what? I'll go to my father. And what's he going to say? Father, I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned where? I want you to hold on to that. I'm not going to have time to get to it this week. But when did he sin in his father's sight? When did he sin in his father's sight? It's a great thought right there. But the main thing, he's come to his senses, and now he's repenting. And he's saying, hey, I don't want to live life like an orphan. I've got a father. I've just not been a very good son. I've got a father, and he's a good father. And I was the crazy one, not him. I was the one that's missed the most out of this, not him. And then look at verse 19. I'm no longer worthy to be called your what? Well, you know, that seems real to him, but that's not true. That's what I want to say to you leading into this time of invitation in ministry. No matter how selfish you've been, no matter how wasteful you've been, no matter how empty you are, no matter how lonely you are, no matter how much riotous living you've been enjoying, God will never leave you and He'll never forsake you. And God still wants to be your father and He still wants you to be His child. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. What this means is the repentance is a change of mind. That he recognized the orphan spirit, and he recognized the orphan living, and he said, I don't want to live as an orphan anymore. I'm going to go back to my place of departure. And the place of departure is always the place of return. I'm going to go back to my Father. Now, the orphan spirit must be revealed. The orphan living must be removed. And how does that happen? I got to end it right here, but we're going to pick it up next week. Orphan adoption must be received by you. Orphan adoption must be received by you. What does God promise you in verse 15? For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to what? Fear again. But you have received a spirit of what? Adoption. As sons or daughters, by which we cry out what? Abba, Father. Now listen to me real quick. I believe this is going to be an adoption service today. I believe that God wants to adopt somebody today. I believe there's somebody here who sees themselves as an orphan. But God says, no, you're going to become a child of mine. And God wants to adopt you today. But I believe we've got a host of other people here today that you've already been adopted by God. But you've still been living with an orphan spirit. You've still been living an orphan lifestyle. But by the grace of God, you're going to come today and let Daddy heal your broken heart. You're going to let Daddy be your mender. If you recognize an orphan spirit in your life, I'm going to ask you to come and join me down here. If you recognize an orphan lifestyle and you're tired of orphan living, I'm going to ask you to come down here. If you're ready for orphan adoption, I'm going to ask you to come down here. And here's another part of this invitation. Some of you have orphan sons and orphan daughters. And they're out now wasting their resources with riotous living. And today, you want people to pray with you and partner with you and helping call them back to their senses. You want your orphan son, you want your orphan daughter to come to their senses and return home again. I'm going to ask you to come and have that orphan spirit broken and have that orphan lifestyle terminate. Here's somebody else today. Somebody else today is for you. You've been abandoned. You've been abused. You've been rejected. And when you think of God as Father, it nauseates your stomach. It causes you to go into a tailspin. Well, today we want to put an Abba's anointing on your life. And that Abba's anointing on your life is going to break that orphan spirit. And it's going to bring an end to that orphan lifestyle. And you are going to be baptized in His love. You're going to be healed by His grace.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.